WDEE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. About half of Americans use TikTok, and the popular app says it will go dark tomorrow unless the Biden administration assures service providers that it will not enforce the law that bans TikTok. For those who make money on TikTok, like Dustin Tyler of Minnesota.
I've been really stressed out lately, as it is my income, and it's how I feed my family. It's how I put a roof over our heads.
President-elect Donald Trump says he talked about TikTok in a call with Chinese leader Xi Jinping, but it's not clear what he can do to keep the app alive after the Supreme Court upheld the law Friday. Trump departs for Washington today ahead of his second inauguration, but it will be the first inauguration indoors since 1985. It'll be in the Capitol Rotunda because of dangerous cold in the forecast. Calmer weather in California, giving a weekend respite from the red flag fire warnings, and the Israel-Hamas ceasefire takes effect Sunday. This is ABC News. A Florida jury found that CNN defamed a U.S. Navy veteran who helped rescue endangered Afghans. Zachary Young claimed a CNN report in 2021 destroyed his business with a story about a black market of extracting Afghans. The jury awarded Young $5 million in compensatory damages. CNN settled with him before punitive damages could be ordered. CNN says it will take, quote, what useful lessons we can from this case. The Menendez brothers, convicted of killing their parents in 1989, have been claiming they should get out of prison.
Because of the ongoing wildfire situation here in LA County, District Attorney Nathan Hochman announcing the resentencing hearing for Lyle and Eric Menendez. It was set for January 30th and 31st, has been delayed until March 20th and 21st. The Menendez brothers argue they deserve to be let out of prison or given parole. Hochman, who was sworn in last month, has not decided if, like his predecessor in the DA's office, he will support their push for freedom.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Ziplining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Ahead of President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration, thousands of people are protesting this weekend. Special teams have even made their way to D.C. to try to keep things peaceful without using force. Mike Moen reports.
Nonviolent Peace Force was invited by organizers of the People's March to ensure demonstrators feel safe as they express their views. The group's Anna Zero says they'll take a nonpartisan approach in helping out. They'll be on the spot to carry out de-escalation tactics if needed.
What we do is really about leaning into the humanity of other people, right? People often escalate because they're not being heard and because they feel vulnerable. So if we can reach out to that person proactively, if we see attention rising and listen to them, kind of divert the attention.
In 2017, before Trump's first inauguration, this event was called the Women's March, but has been rebranded as progressives worry about actions like mass deportations. Zero says preparation is key to setting a peaceful tone, noting they trained roughly 200 volunteers in recent weeks. She acknowledges in today's political climate it can be tricky to encourage tolerance, as a lot of people have strong feelings about where we are as a country. But she insists it's still worth it, even if it feels out of reach.
Sometimes the work of nonviolence can feel like, no, this isn't what we need. Our problems are too big. But that is exactly when we do need nonviolence, because when we see these fissures in our ability to relate to other human beings, nonviolence at its core is about being able to see that person for who they are.
She says building tolerance usually takes longer when teaching it to people surrounded by conflict. The weekend assistance won't foster deep political discussions if tension arises, but rather those on-the-spot efforts to lower the temperature. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly sunny for today, a high in the upper teens, wind chills to 5 below. Partly cloudy tonight, a low near 5 below, wind chill to 20 below. Partly cloudy Sunday, high a few degrees above zero, wind chills 15 to 20 below. Currently it's 17 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up in the show, more studies show men are lonely. Why is that? What can be done? Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
This is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thanks for tuning in to this week's Best of the Todd Albaugh Show. On Thursday morning, we received some very disheartening news. Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker, has passed away. And so we spent some time talking to Sean Hanisch, director and producer of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, about our shared memories of his broadcast excellence and how the world of baseball will never be the same. Enjoy.
It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, but it's also heavy-hearted as we lost one of our favorite, our most well-known favorite sons of Wisconsin, Bob Uecker, Mr. Baseball. Chief announcer on Milwaukee Brewers baseball for 54 years, passed away this morning at the age of 90 years old. Want to spend just a little bit more time talking about that. At the bottom of the hour, stick around. Big interview coming up with a candidate for Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction, Jeff Wright, one of the challengers for the position on the April ballot. Yes, there's a spring election coming up already in April, a very important one. Going to spend a half an hour getting to know Jeff Wright, why he wants the job, and what he thinks about K-12 public education in the state of Wisconsin. Jeff Wright live here in the studio coming up after the bottom of the hour. But right now we are joined once again via phone from Southern California by Sean Hanisch. He is the director and co-producer of the great film, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. Sean, again, we appreciate you sticking around on the phone. And again, our hearts go out to all of you there in Southern California. I want to remind our listeners and our viewers that if you would like to help the folks who have lost, in some cases, everything, anything helps. You can go to civicmedia.us, civicmedia.us. And we have provided a link to a number of reputable organizations where you can give $5, $500, $5,000, anything helps. And amongst those, World Kitchen and also the American Red Cross. And Sean, we're thinking of all of you out there in Southern California right now.
Thanks so much, Todd. Yeah, it has been a honestly a nightmare out here the last 8 days. Mm-hmm. I have 5 friends who've lost everything.
Wow.
They lost their homes. They had to leave within 20 minutes of the evacuation order. And one dear friend in Pacific Palisades and 4 friends in Pasadena, Altadena. I live in Pasadena. So, yeah, it's thank you for you know, letting folks know about that on your show. It's really important. It's going to be a really long rebuild out here. And it's, honestly, unfathomable, the disaster. One of our producers on the film, Just a Bit Outside, Paul Jaconi Beery, is currently, he had to evacuate and is displaced from his home. And frankly, a lot of those people don't, his home is still standing, but they don't know when they're going to be allowed back into the house. So wow. He could be, you know, 2 months. Nobody knows. It's a big, big, it got really bad out here. But again, thank you for, you know, putting the word out about it. It's, It's really important.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you, especially under these circumstances, coming on the show. And one of our longtime listeners, Tom, L.A. Tom out there, he called in last week and spent quite a bit of time with us, giving us just on-the-ground reporting because, you know, there's so much misinformation, unfortunately, for a lot of different organizations. And to hear folks like yourself and L.A. Tom and others who are out there and Kelly before you telling us what's really going on. And I think a lot of us that have friends and family out there, we just feel helpless. And so, you know, giving anything to reputable organizations, I think, is, at least something we could do out here.
Oh, it's incredibly important. And honestly, you know, the generosity of people, you know, in Los Angeles, but also across the country has been extraordinary. I mean, you know, people here are really feeling that they have a lot of support, both in donations, but a lot of the aid organizations are, you know, listen, there's, you know, right now there's a lot of attention. It's, you know, it's in the months and years ahead. I mean, there are some folks that, I mean, you know, as I just said, Todd, it's, they've lost everything, you know. Yeah, dear family friend, you know, she and her two kids and her two grandkids, they lost it all. So, you know, we're doing their laundry for them.
Wow.
You know, they're looking for, you know, an Airbnb to stay in. They're trying to, you know, figure out how to rebuild them. They won't be back in their house for years and years. So, any little help anybody can give, it will go to good use.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We'll keep anything we can do on this program or through Civic Media, we will certainly be here to do our small part as well to support all of you out there in Southern California. So in light of that, you know, again, I appreciate you coming on. I wish it was under better circumstances, but I reached out to, you know, your co-producer and on this film just a bit outside Kelly Call this morning. I said, I feel a little sheepish asking you guys to come on, given everything you're going through. But of course, you know, always the gentleman, he goes, no, we should honor Euchre. And, you know, the passing of Bob Euchre today. And again, I know you and Kelly had a chance he's a large part of the narrative. Well, again, one of the cool things about this film, just a bit outside the movie, is there really is no, I'll call it the voice of God. You know, Morgan Freeman isn't narrating this whole thing. It's the players and Euchre and Bud Selig who take the audience through this. And I think really that's part of the magic of the film is you feel like you're sitting there right in the room and Euchre is talking to each and every one of us that's have seen this film.
It's, yeah, well, thank you, Todd. I mean, it was one of our goals that we set out. It was, let's let the players and everybody involved with this story say it in their own words. Mm-hmm. That was, we didn't want to, you know, again, it's a somewhat subtle choice, but I think it's a really effective choice. I think it pulls people into the story more when you hear the story told. It's kind of like you're sitting around a table or in a living room, mm-hmm. and you're hearing them recall, you know, that journey of that magical season. And, you know, we had the honestly once in a lifetime opportunity to sit down with Bob Euchre. And as you mentioned earlier, we were scheduled actually to have him for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we hit 45 and, you know, we kind of squeezed it out to about an hour. And then, you know, the good people at the Brewers were like, you know, listen, you know, we really have to restrict his time and energy.
Right.
And Euchre was like, you kidding me? I'm good. I want to keep going.
That's fantastic.
And so we kept going, and we went for about an hour and 15 minutes. So what a wonderful opportunity to spend time and visit with this legend. But he would never think of himself as a legend.
Mm. Interrupt you for a second, Sean, for those watching on the stream right now on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, the like, Zommers is putting up some photos that Kelly Call sent us earlier of that day when you guys were interviewing Euchre, but go ahead.
Oh, good. I'm going to send you a couple as well.
Right.
It was a really special day. We were there in the stadium, and I mean, you know, is there a better storyteller than Bob Euchre?
Not that I know of. No.
Bud Selig is a great storyteller, by the way. But Bob Euchre is, you know, I was able to interview him, and he's I mean, he's just an incredible, well, first of all, his knowledge of baseball and his ability to talk about, you know, growing up in Milwaukee. And then, you know, as he says, I was the first Milwaukeean ever brought to the major leagues by the Braves. And I was the first one ever sent out of the minors by the Braves. So he's, you know, so self-deprecating and also so quick. I have to tell you this little story. I'm so happy it is. I brought my son, who was, I believe, 10 at the time. And we went in and he sat next to me and he was listening to the whole interview. And he was enraptured because, you know, he's funny and he's so smart. And he has such wonderful, colorful stories. Afterwards, I said, "Oh, Mr. Uecker, this is my son. And my son's name is Cannon." "Bob, this is my son, Cannon." And he immediately goes, "Oh, Cannon, nice to meet you. I'm Shotgun."
One of the pictures that Kelly sent was, I believe it's your son sitting on the armchair with a baseball that I assume he got autographed as well.
That was it. Yeah. Okay, so you saw it. Yeah, that was the moment they met. And, I mean, I know his wit was always so, so quick. Even in his late 80s, he's just a funny, funny man. I mean, nobody had made more appearances on the Johnny Carson show than Bob Uecker.
Right? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. What a life. What a man. Yeah. I mean, it is a sad day, but, you know, I think going forward in the days and weeks and months ahead, you know, it's a life to be celebrated.
Right. No, it really is. And thank God we have films like yours, just a bit outside the movie, that documents that. We played part of Tom Rinaldi's great piece from last year on Fox where Rinaldi interviewed him as well. And we'll always have so many of the games and the calls it's a part of our fabric forever, but you just never want to say goodbye. He's one of those people. I listened to his last, I told this earlier, I was coming back from Ripon, Wisconsin. We were doing the show up there for a political thing. And I was coming back that night, listening to the last game, the playoff game against the Mets, which they lost, of course. I listened to the last four innings I thought to myself, you know, one of these times it'll be the last game that Uecker ever does. And that turned out to be it. And I'm blessed. I feel blessed that we've all had him for so long, but it's never going to be the same.
It won't be. I can't be.
Right.
You know, I mean, it can't be. That's the thing. And that's, I think, why, you know, it's going to be really important to take this moment of appreciation. And then truly what he would want us all to do is to celebrate.
Yeah.
Celebrate his life, his achievements, how he brought us all together.
Right.
That's the thing. I think people, you know, he was the leader in many ways of our community.
Yeah.
He is a person who, you know, one thing he said, Todd, during the interview.
What?
And he said, "I never said anything bad about any player when I was on the air."
Wow.
He goes, "Because I knew how hard it was just to make it to that level. And I never wanted to say anything bad about anybody."
Wow, that's amazing. Can you come back on the other side after a two-minute break?
100%.
All right, yes, cool. Stay tuned. Sean Hash continues on remembering Bob Uecker. And then at the bottom of the hour, Jeff Wright. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Thursday right here on the Civic Media. Ready to
coming up next, we're going to have the rest of our conversation with Sean Hash, producer and director of Just a Bit Outside. Stick around.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
News from the center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for staying with us on the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show for this week. Here we have the rest of our conversation with Sean Hannish, director and producer of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers on the legacy of Bob Uecker.
Remember the passing this morning of Bob Uecker, the great Bob Uecker, at the age of 90. A couple of comments off of the text line at this hour. Dave in New Berlin says, guys like Bob Uecker don't get replaced. They can find a new commentator, but never replace Uecker. Well said, Dave. Also, Tom listening on WAUK in Jackson saying, hi, Todd. Thanks for taking time to talk about Bob Uecker. Summers won't be the same. Could not agree more with that one. Ben listening and watching on YouTube. We appreciate that, Ben. Ben says, I'm 30, and Uke's biggest impact on me was when I was stationed in Hawaii and couldn't watch Brewer games. I listened to Uke on Brewers radio, and it was a little slice of home for me. Ah, Ben, that's a great comment. I mean, right there, we are joined. I have the honor of being joined via telephone from Southern California right now by the director and co-producer of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, Sean Hannish. Sean, I just read that, our YouTube comment from Ben, and I just got like choked up, like because that to me is everything right there. It's that no matter where you are or were, if you could hear Uecker, you were home.
That comment really hits home. I've lived in Los Angeles for about 30 years, and it's always been a way to reconnect with, you know, my youth, with my community of friends and family. That's the thing. I mean, it's in a way, he was extended family to all of us. You know, it was a really, really well put comment. I think all of us, you know, and you don't have to be out of the state,
right?
You know, or out of the city to think that either. You know, if you were in your backyard, I remember I was so nervous about that last game of the 1982 season in Baltimore that I couldn't watch it on television. I had to go out in the backyard, mow the lawn, and listen to it on my headphones, because I needed the filter of Bob Uecker, because I knew even if we lost, at least Bob would make me feel okay.
Right. No, it's such a great point. And one more comment off the text line. Dana listening over in La Crosse saying, if you've never seen his Hall of Fame induction speech, I recommend everybody watch it. Bob's humor was magical. And that's one of the things, right? Just the self-deprecating humor. We talked with Jeff Perry earlier about this. And I know you guys, you and Kelly, saw this too in the interview for the movie.
We did. It's a constant. You know, he always, he used himself as the butt of the joke. You know,
right.
I mean, that was his go-to, right? I mean, I remember reading his book from the 80s, Catcher in the Rye,
right.
W-R-Y. You know, I haven't read it in a while, but it's filled with those, anecdotes. And it's what he used to do on Johnny Carson. And you go back and listen, watch those Johnny Carson bits he did.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that I've seen a drier comedian. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen Johnny Carson laugh as much.
Right. Yeah.
As, you know, with a guest as he did when Uke was on. You know, I mean, how lucky are and were we to call Bob Uecker our own?
Yeah. 100%.
Very
fortunate and blessed. I got about 3.5 minutes here left with you, Sean. I want to give you an opportunity because we had so many people. In fact, I put my bracelet back on today for the world premiere, the 82 Brew Crew of the world premiere. We have his jersey hanging up behind us here. A lot of people are anxious to see this film that for whatever reason weren't able to see it while it was in theaters. I know Kelly mentioned a little bit while we were able to talk with him earlier. This is going to come to a streaming service near you. Can you update us, give us a little preview of that yet, Sean?
Well, I'll tell you all, and I really appreciate everybody's patience here. Kelly and myself and our producing partner, Paul, have been working diligently on, you know, doing everything that one needs to do to get it out on DVD, digital download, and streaming. Yeah. Right now, we don't have any specific dates yet, but the good news is in February, you are going to be able to either buy the DVD or, you know, download it digitally. So we're going to,
that's awesome.
We have that coming, and we're going to be able to, Todd will let you know, we'll let folks know on our social media accounts when that's going to happen. We should have a street date here in the coming weeks. And then we are finalizing a deal for streaming as well. That's probably going to happen sometime in the spring. So the great news is baseball season is right around the corner,
right?
And this baseball season, we, you know, y'all who haven't seen it yet will have the opportunity to see this movie that we're really proud of. And you know, it fortunately again includes, you know, Mr. Baseball, and he had such life and love and color to the film. It's honestly, it's an honor to have been able to spend time with him and include his recollections and stories in the film.
And it it features the iconic call of Bob Uecker as well, like this one right here.
Just a bit outside.
There you go.
From I think I know what you actually meant.
But that's the stage, of course, from Major League. But here's one of his final calls this year, calling Jackson Chirios' grand slam home run.
Set to work. Runners lead. First, second, and third to pitch. Hit to left and deep. His 18th of the year. Wow.
Sean Hanisch, 1 minute left, almost to passing the baton from the foundation of the Brewers, Bob Uecker, to hopefully the future in Jackson Chirios.
Isn't that what baseball's about? It's about renewal.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, it is about the game doesn't end. You know, it's always a new beginning. And then, you know, we appreciate and love, you know, the people that we've had a chance to spend time with on this journey.
Coming up next, we finished up Thursday's show with an interview with Jeff Wright, a candidate for state superintendent of public instruction. He has a lot of interesting stories about bringing people together and really connecting with the community. Stick around.
Yeah, your film opens with the former commissioner's line, "Baseball breaks our heart." It was meant to break our heart. Today, our hearts are broken, but we're better off for your film. Thank you, Sean, for taking time to be with us today. Stay tuned. Jeff Wright's next.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. About half of Americans use TikTok, and the popular app says it will go dark tomorrow unless the Biden administration assures service providers that it will not enforce the law that bans TikTok. For those who make money on TikTok, like Dustin Tyler of Minnesota.
I've been really stressed out lately, as it is my income, and it's how I feed my family. It's how I put a roof over our heads.
President-elect Donald Trump says he talked about TikTok in a call with Chinese leader Xi Jinping, but it's not clear what he can do to keep the app alive after the Supreme Court upheld the law Friday. Trump departs for Washington today ahead of his second inauguration, but it will be the first inauguration indoors since 1985. It'll be in the Capitol Rotunda because of dangerous cold in the forecast. Calmer weather in California, giving a weekend respite from the red flag fire warnings, and the Israel-Hamas ceasefire takes a effect Sunday. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Giannis comes through again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks with another early lead that led to a win over the Raptors in five-serve form. The final, Milwaukee 130, Toronto 112. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 35 points, a dozen rebounds. Damian Lillard scored 26, but Doc Rivers praised him for his effort on defense.
Dame's intensity defensively has been terrific. It really has. You know, there was a stretch in the first quarter. I thought he was our best defender on the floor at times. Burke and Giannis's ability to attack the basket as far as blocking shots has been great. But Dame's mixing it up. He's attacking more. And that's one thing we've been on him about. The more he goes downhill, the more sets up the threes later, and he's doing that.
The Bucks with another home game tomorrow night against the 76ers. Tip off at 6 o'clock. College basketball, the Milwaukee Panthers, with a 79-64 victory over Youngstown State. The Wisconsin Badgers men's team in L.A. against USC today in a Big Ten matchup. A recap coming up tonight with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly sunny for today, a high in the upper teens, wind chills to 5 below. Partly cloudy tonight, a low near 5 below, wind chill to 20 below. Partly cloudy Sunday, high a few degrees above zero, wind chills 15 to 20 below. Currently, we're at 15.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Native American voters prevailed in federal court against the state of North Dakota, protecting the ability to elect the candidate of their choice. January 13th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a redistricting case we covered back in May 2024, affirming a North Dakota federal appeals court decision. The appeals court had dismissed a state house district challenge by two non-native residents who claimed their rights were infringed. The case dates back to 2021 when the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara nations, also known as the MHA nation, negotiated with the state to protect native voting power under the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Section 2. After an agreement, state GOP officials later shamefully reversed positions in 2022, embracing a new GOP tactic which argues such majority-minority districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause under the U.S. Constitution. The same argument has been made in Robinson versus Calais over Louisiana's now two majority-minority districts. The MHA Nation decision protects North Dakota State House District 4A and three other districts. Great news for Native voters. But the Louisiana case is expected to be heard in the High Court in early 2025, and the conservative justices seem to have made it their mission to dismantle the VRA. We have links to the history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not
with
doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome one of Wisconsin's very own, comedian Tom Clark. Then Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and I discuss award season. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for sticking with us on the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. Here is our interview with Jeff Wright, candidate for State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Enjoy.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock here on this Thursday, January 16th. Many thanks to Kelly Call, also Sean Hanisch, the co-producers and director, respectively, of Just a Bit Outside, the film of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, for spending time with us and remembering the passing of Bob Uecker today. And we'll continue to cover that for the next few days, I am sure. But right now we turn a page and we welcome into the program right now here live in studio. We always appreciate that. He is Jeff Wright, and he is one of the candidates for State Superintendent of Public Schools in the state of Wisconsin. Jeff, thank you so much for making the trip in.
Of course.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
A pleasure. We're going to start. I'll start out with something just that has nothing to do with school boards or school issues, really. But Bob Uecker, I think all of us, whether we're into sports or not into sports, what was your memory or thoughts on the passing of the late great Bob Uecker?
Well, certainly our radios and will sound a little different this summer in the state of Wisconsin. And I remember taking my now sixth and eighth grade kids, but when they were much younger, up to go find his seat.
Really?
Yeah. Way up at the top of at the time Miller Park.
Yeah.
His obstructed view and right, trying to explain to my little kids why this man matters so much. And certainly a loss to our state today.
Well, that's a cool story. And yeah, for those that have kids like yourself to help them remember and be part of really Wisconsin history is a cool thing. So our radios will sound differently this summer, but it's going to be great having those memories of Uecker all these years. I appreciate you taking some quality time with us. And, you know, we go all across the state. And I think there are a lot of people who are like, first of all, wait a minute, there's an election in April because everybody's electioned out. But yes, there actually is an election and an important one for state school superintendent. You are one of three candidates vying for the position. For those that might not have heard of you before, tell folks a little bit about yourself.
Well, and there's actually a primary on February 18th. So people wanted an election even sooner, we've got one in just about a month. Well, as you said, I'm Jeff Wright. I'm currently the superintendent in the Sauk Prairie School District, just northwest of Madison. I grew up in Stevens Point. My parents were both teachers there, and I have family throughout the state. Between growing up in Stevens Point and where I'm now a superintendent for a while, I was a teacher, and I also was a principal on the south side of Chicago at one of the Chicago Public School high schools for about 9 years there. I'd love to share a story or two about my time as an educator.
Absolutely. I was going to say, because I think to me and having worked at in the state capitol, particularly for the state Senate for a lot of time, the state school superintendent office and DPI, Department of Public Instruction, it's one of the less politically sexy offices. You don't hear a lot about it. People, you don't have a lot of news about it. So I think a lot of people don't understand how important it is. And I'm interested in what led you to have a passion for public education. I come from a family of educators, but what led you to be concerned about education and why you want to run for this job?
Yeah, it certainly isn't an office that gets a ton of attention, but certainly our schools do. Mm. And I think that we all want many of the same things for our schools and for the kids in our communities. And so one of the opportunities with this sort of role is that it's a nonpartisan position. And I like to consider myself a nonpartisan problem solver. I'm currently doing the job of superintendent in the most purple county in Wisconsin, if not the entire country. Yeah. Sauk County voted for Obama twice, and then Trump, then Biden, then Trump. You can't find a lot of counties like that.
No.
But what an unusual and unique place to be a school leader and having to be so deliberate to make sure that everybody feels welcome in the schools, but also welcome at the table to talk about public education. And I think that that's what's motivating me to do this job. I think that the role of state superintendent in an equally purple state, it's an opportunity to bring people together to do the right thing for kids. And that's what I've been trying to do both when I was a classroom teacher, when I was a principal, and now as a superintendent, is what can we solve for kids? What community problems can we address differently by bringing schools to the table? I'd love to talk about some of the things that we've solved in Sauk Prairie as a result of bringing people to the table. I mean, recently, we've broken ground on a new child care center that's going to be owned by the village of Prairie du Sac, but operated by the school district. And it was a project led by our Chamber of Commerce that desperately was looking for ways to get more child care seats in the room or in the area.
Wow.
We're reimagining the way that we support children with mental health needs or families in crisis by deliberately working more in collaboration with county social services, the medical community, juvenile justice, and that work was honored with a $5 million grant from the U.S. Department of Education, a really large grant for a district our size. We've added solar panels to the top of the high school roof. And I bring those examples of childcare and mental health and solar panels up because each of those projects was unanimously supported by my school board. But I know that individually they have different yard signs in front of their homes. Mm-hmm. And it's because we worked through these problems together. We found solutions that we could all support, brought those forward, unanimously voted on them, and are making progress in our community as a result.
I love this because you hit on a couple of things. One of the most beneficial things that we have done here at this show over the last year plus is we take these week-long tours. We call them What Makes Wisconsin Great. And we make them really not all that partisan political. But we talk to business people. We talk to educators. We've talked to veterans, just people in our communities that we can mostly all of us agree that those are the things that make us great. And two of the things you just mentioned, number one, childcare, and number two, mental health, have been things that people have been interacting with us. And I think it's a novel and an awesome way that you can work with local businesses to help tell folks a little bit more about how you did that in your school district in Sauk County to bring childcare.
Well, we originally were starting looking at housing and how could we bring more housing to the community. And what we found out from local employees and employers is that childcare was becoming an even bigger problem. And that people had to drive out of the community to drop their children off at childcare in order to return to the community to work and then make that same trip after work. So we started looking for solutions. We started working with the existing childcare providers in our community to see if they could expand their operations. That wasn't a possibility. We got a small state planning grant to try to look for another creative solution. And in the end, we decided that how could we find a facility somewhere in the community where we could put a childcare center that the school district could operate so that we could benefit from reducing costs by the purchasing power of the school district. Mm-hmm. And originally we looked at a church. We thought that a Sunday school wing would be an ideal place to put this because it was relatively unused during the school day. And hopefully a solution that could be replicated across the state. Unfortunately, we couldn't find a church that would fit the code compliance regulations to serve newborns. You have to have an immediate access point so that you can get them out in an emergency or a fire. Mm-hmm. And in the end, we turned to our business community and said, what if we built a small new structure in land already owned by the village in a park? So then the kids are already in a park. And the village said yes. 45 or so businesses contributed to the project, Culver certainly being one of them, being in Sauk Prairie.
Right.
And what I'm proud of is that as a result, we're reducing the cost to operate for rent and mortgage because it's already owned by the public, the building. Yeah. And we're able to put some of those resources then in paying childcare workers a living wage, which often childcare workers are some of the lowest paid people in a community and rarely have access to benefits. And so honoring them as important parts of our community's workforce, because they're going to hopefully set these students up, these young children, to be more successful in school when it's our turn to educate them in a traditional school.
That story to me epitomizes what I've heard as we travel around the state, what a lot of Wisconsinites are looking for, leaders to just get something done. Quit fighting each other, quit arguing with each other, and just get something done. Mm-hmm. And I think that story, business, community, educators coming together to get something done and real solutions. I think that sells, as they say, across the state of Wisconsin.
And how exciting to be able to do that as a partner with communities across the state. Mm-hmm. In a role of state superintendent. We know that when our schools thrive, our communities thrive. And if I can help direct change to make sure that we have really modern schools that are serving students differently, hopefully we can then get things done, as you said, in communities across the entire state and continue to make Wisconsin a great place to raise a family.
Let's talk the other point you brought up, mental health. Again, something that when we've talked about this subject on this program, our phones light up, the text lines light up. I think it's one of the most underappreciated or talked about issues that our entire state faces. I don't care whether it's our ag producers, who the rate of death by suicide has skyrocketed from the pressures on our ag producers, whether it's kids. You know, we just, as you well know, had a tragic shooting here in Madison a couple of 3 weeks ago at Abundant Life Christian School, and mental health issues come up there. As a superintendent, someone in education, what have you done, and what are your feelings moving forward for the state? How can we make mental health a broader, more talked about issue to find solutions?
Well, let me talk specifically about the problem we were trying to solve in Sauk Prairie and the tools we're using to try to solve that. We know that families who have children who are experiencing mental health issues are really struggling to get care, and that there can be 6 month, 9 month, year long waits to get access to mental health care. And those can be even longer depending on the type of insurance you have. We also know that the county social service agencies and the healthcare and communities, law enforcement, they don't always communicate effectively with each other, and they potentially are trying to support the same kid or support the same family. And so the model that we've created is to try to make the school the hub for service delivery. We're not providing all the services, but we're making sure that we're coordinating the services so that we're not either replicating services, which is a waste of resources, or assuming that somebody else is taking care of a family that actually is not receiving any care. And what we've heard from our county social services, and we get the privilege of serving three different counties with how large our district is geographically, is that every school district needs some sort of resource like this. Yeah. But that's going to require an investment from the state and a willing partner in the counties. I'm grateful that ours have been a willing partner to make sure that we are comfortable being at the same table with each other and not being threatened by somebody asking questions about the care that you're providing somebody. We're also working with our students to make sure that they are better prepared to help each other out in times of need. There's a line in education, like the adults are often second or third to know. It's kids who know first. They know when their friends are struggling. Did they have the resources and the tools to help each other out when something's not going right? And one of the programs that we're using from 6th through 12th grade is called Sources of Strength. And the idea behind this program is that we all have strengths. We have to know how to draw on them at different times. It could be our spirituality. It could be physical wellness. It could be generosity. It could be a trusted adult or a positive friend. But sometimes I just need to have that language to say that I need a trusted adult right now. Mm-hmm. Or to be able to say to a friend, like, Todd, I think what you really need right now is to talk to a trusted adult. Mm-hmm. Who is that person in your life? And empowering students to be able to help each other in a positive way. They do have the assets to get through these hard times, but sometimes they can't see them in the middle of that storm.
Yeah. Like I said, I come from a whole family of educators. My mom and dad and stepmom are all retired teachers. My grandmother was an educator all a one-room school all the way through a university. And my sister and brother-in-law still teach at the Eau Claire School District in high school and middle school. And I've heard from them echoes of what you just said, that the kids know. But it's having time, because teachers are so overwhelmed with, and a lot of people don't understand this, I'll call it paperwork to put it in layman's terms, but the amount of time they spend in meetings and having to write reports, it takes away from actually educating kids.
It does. I mean, certainly the job of a teacher continues to get harder all the time. Mm-hmm. But they're also, it's such an energizing profession too. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're allowed to practice your craft and allow your own personality and your art to show. I think that if you reach out to any of those teachers in your family, or I did the same with a lot of teachers in mine, that the stories that come out of the life-changing work that we get to do, it is motivating even in the most exhausting days filled with a meeting or two that you didn't want to attend or paperwork you didn't want to have to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. We got about a minute left here before the first break. We're talking with Jeff Wright, a candidate for Department of Public Instruction, Superintendent of Public Schools here in Wisconsin. Again, thank you for the reminder. The primary, there are three candidates, so there is a primary on February 18th, a month. I can't believe it.
Yeah, here we go.
I want to come back. I know you have a little bit of news to break on the show, a major endorsement. So I want to talk about that. And also your other top one or two issues in your campaign, what you think traveling around the state of Wisconsin, what you're hearing from people about the situation in our public schools across Wisconsin. Jeff Wright is our guest. Civic Media is our network. I'm Todd Allball, your host. We'll be back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up next, the rest of our conversation with Jeff Wright and an important announcement that he made exclusively on our show. Don't miss it.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at chulavistaresort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland, miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour.
Thanks for sticking with us in the best of the Todd Allball Show. Here is the rest of our interview with Jeff Wright, candidate for State Superintendent of Public Instruction, with a very important endorsement from a friend of ours.
Right now we have the pleasure here in studio, our guest, the candidate, one of the candidates for Department of Public Instruction of Public Schools here in Wisconsin in the February 18th primary. That's right, February 18th. Make sure you get to the polls. Jeff Wright. Jeff, we really appreciate you coming in. You have a major endorsement to announce today.
Well, I do. You know, last week, at the end of the week, I was honored to receive the endorsement of the Association of Wisconsin School Administrators. So that's the people who are leading our schools in our communities are endorsing me to lead the state schools. Mm-hmm. And then today I get to announce that former Senator Dale Schultz has added his name to the list of endorsements. And I'm grateful for Dale's support. Dale and I we live close to each other, and he's had a chance to watch me work, and I appreciate his words of support.
Well, it is big news, and regular listeners of this show, and full disclosure, I worked for Dale. I had nothing to do with hooking up this endorsement, but I am thankful that you chose to come on our show and talk about it. As Bob Schieffer, a former longtime anchor at CBS, said, I think you just made a little bit of news. Dale is a revered person in the state of Wisconsin. And again, I don't say that just because I worked for him. I know it because I traveled with him. Longtime Republican, also just endorsed Kamala Harris for president, has endorsed Tony Evers for governor in his first run, but is also a longtime Republican. I think, that's the kind of person that a lot of people look up to on both sides of the aisle. And now Dale Schultz coming out today and endorsing you. He says, in part in his endorsement declaration here, he says, quote, in last November's election, Wisconsin voters divided our choices at the top of the ticket. But we all came together on an issue just as vital to our families and communities. Across Wisconsin, voters stood up for public education by passing an historic number of school referenda, unquote, from Dale Schultz. I think that is so well said because as you start at the top of the show, I mean, you from Sauk County, a swing county, but you've been able to reach out and get things done. I think that's representative of what you're running here for state school superintendent.
Well, and Dale Schultz later on in his endorsement talked specifically about that sort of work of watching me bring people together to get that work done for our communities and keeping people really invested in our schools. And I'd like to share a story of kind of what inspired that in me over time. When I was first a teacher, it was in Rochester, Minnesota, which is the home of the Mayo Clinic. And at the time, I was teaching an international politics class, and we were studying conflicts in the Middle East. Some of these storylines don't change, unfortunately, even 20 years later. And at the time, the King of Jordan, King Hussein, was being treated for ending his life, but some health issues at the Mayo Clinic. And I was talking about the different characters in the Middle East and the different maps, and so that the students could understand what was in the news. And I, in jest, said, can you believe that King Hussein is right there? And I pointed to the hospital that we could see outside of my classroom window, and he hasn't yet been to our world affairs class. And the student in the back of the room named Crystal, I'll never forget her. She raised her hand and in a snotty voice said, well, have you even invited him? And at the moment, I kind of laughed at it. And then I thought, she's right. Invite him to the table, invite him in and see what you find out. And it took us a while to get to his chief of protocol. But in the end, not long before he died, he agreed to fax question and answers back and forth to our high school students. And it may have been some of the last interviews that he did.
Wow.
But the lesson that I took from that is heeding Crystal's advice all the time. Like, have you invited that person into the conversation? Have you invited them into the classroom? And over again, I found as an educator and as a principal and as a superintendent, when you invite people to come in and participate in the public schools, whether it's expanding apprenticeships and workplace opportunities, whether it's coming in and reading to kids, what any of those opportunities, if you invite people in, they're going to find a way to connect to schools. And I think that that's what Dale is highlighting in his endorsement, is that attitude, that perspective that everyone should have a voice in our public schools, but we need to have leadership that brings those people in.
Again, I think that exemplifies what I hear from Wisconsinites that want someone who's going to reach out and have a dialogue, even sometimes with people that we don't agree with. Just a couple of minutes left here. One of those issues, of course, is funding, property taxes. I've left you all of 90 seconds, but just your quick thoughts on how you work with both sides of the aisle of the legislature if you were to become DPI secretary or superintendent.
Well, this is one area that right now it's not working. It is a broken relationship. The current state superintendent was the only agency head not invited to testify at the last Joint Finance Committee process for creating the last biennial budget. And it's unfortunate that that relationship is broken, and I hope that I can restore a conversation and a relationship with both sides of the aisle so that we can address some of these longstanding questions and issues in education, whether they be funding or other things that are helping our communities make sure that we're serving our kids correctly.
Yeah, and I think what Dale says in his endorsement, again, former Senate Majority Leader, Republican Dale Schultz, endorsing Jeff Wright for DPI superintendent today, that even in counties that went for Donald Trump in November, overwhelmingly school referenda passed. People care about their public schools because they are our communities.
And we know that they attract families and that employers who need workers, need people who want to move into a community. And often one of the first things people check out is the quality of the schools and what support they think that their children are going to receive by making that school their life choice.
I was a little off my clock there, but about a minute left here. But is there anything that we haven't talked about or I haven't asked that you want to make sure you get people to hear from you in the last minute?
Well, first, thanks for having me on. Thanks for letting me share my news about Senator Schultz. I'll make sure to run up to his farm and grab another handshake sometime soon. Just personally, my wife was also a teacher. She now works in outdoor education primarily, and we are raising a sixth grader and an eighth grader and a whole bunch of chickens on a small farm not too far out of Spring Green.
And it's JeffWright4Wisconsin.com.
That's all for the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show this week. Thanks for giving it a listen. And as always, if you want to hear the rest of this week's shows, you can go to civicmedia.us or anywhere you find your podcasts. And as Todd always says, whatever you do, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you on Monday.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will cover the inauguration in Washington, D.C., and also talk about who the next civil rights leader might be for Martin Luther King Day. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The ceasefire between Israel and Hamas takes effect at 1:30 a.m. Eastern Time Sunday. The first of 33 hostages will be released by Hamas. Israel begin freeing Palestinian prisoners. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge has more from Tel Aviv.
Israel now preparing three reception centers for the hostages along the Gaza border. And nearby in Egypt, aid trucks lined up, ready to head into the strip once the ceasefire begins.
Sunday's also the day that TikTok says it will go dark in the United States unless President Biden convinces service providers his administration will not enforce the new law that bans the app. President-elect Donald Trump initially supported a ban, but now says he wants to save TikTok, but it's not clear how he could do so unless the Chinese parent company sells the app. Preparations continue for his inauguration Monday. It will be inside for the first time in 40 years because of dangerous cold. This is ABC News. Fell. Travel records fell during nearly every holiday last year, which means the year-end statistics are offering few surprises.
Transportation Security Administration officers last year conducted 904 million passenger screenings, a 5% increase from 2023, a 17% surge from 2022. Those blue-shirted agents also scanned more than 2 billion carry-ons, and in nearly 6,700 incidents, they found firearms, 94% of which were loaded.
That's ABC's Jim Ryan as the recovery efforts continue in Southern California, cleaning up from the wildfires. Fire crews are enjoying a weekend respite from red flag conditions, but the dangerous conditions are expected to pick up early next week. And the FAA is requiring SpaceX to perform a mishap investigation into the loss of its Starship vehicle during launch Thursday. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, could